I'm Will Hedrick.
And I'm Jordan Schaffer.
And this is Dog Ears and Timestamps, a book club podcast.
And did you see this ending coming?
Not exactly as it ended.
Yeah, I know. I definitely thought that she was going to turn into a tree. And she thought she was too.
Right,
so,
yeah.
I was like, yes, we're onto it.
No. Yeah, there was one point where she was totally just going to like Arwen it up. And she was like, whenever I'm tired of living, I'm going to go back to the hill. And
exactly,
then I'm going to turn
dude.
Into a tree. And I was like, that's what Arwen did.
That Arwen already did that.
Lame.
Simpsons did it.
I guess I figured the rest of it.
At the end,
I definitely didn't expect her coming back.
Yeah,
like,
to
from
a
the
human,
tree or
right?
whatever.
She was human still too.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And
she
her
came
brother,
back in her.
She
human
like found
form.
Her brothers, and her brothers made her human the first time. And
yeah,
but this time she didn't remember because it was love that brought her back, probably.
Something like that. Some kind of magic.
Some hippie magic. Oh,
right.
Dude! But when he, oh man, there was a lot that happened in this at the end. Like, I was getting all goosebumpy when he was like talking to the mother, or, like her mother. Forgot her name.
The Gwydon.
Yeah, and he was like, "Take my soul." That's not the accent they did in the book. He was like Scottish or something. But he's like, take my soul and like willingly give it to her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I thought that they were both going to just be dead and that was how the book was going to end. And I was like, oh wow, this is doing something different. That's interesting.
Yeah, it seems like the brightness and the pureness.
I was really
of the
into
gesture.
It. I was into them both being dead.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen too. It was like a Shakespearean ending, you know, and then she could be a tree on top of their two dead bodies. It'd be cute, but
right.
Instead, I'm pretty sure some like magic happened where like his soul. I don't know if it was just like in the goodness of his soul or just because it was so bright, like it left some of it onto her. But whatever, his soul seemed to fix her.
Well, they said
make her unmonstrous. Like she lost her antlers and became like a woman, right?
Well, what happened was. His soul wouldn't go into her, the Gwydon.
Yeah.
Because Saren had saved him. And so that did like some, you know, Harry Potter mom sacrificing magic shit. And so it wouldn't work for the Gwydon. And then in that same moment, her soul made it back to her, even though it was barely anything left.
It helped her find her soul.
And it was in her soul. Coming back to her broke the curse that was placed upon her by
that.
The soul
that makes
eater.
More sense.
And so then that's why she was, you know, reverted back to her nymph form rather than
close.
Her, like, you know, forest witch form.
Yeah.
And, but then she was like, yeah, but this soul is so, like, used up and dead and I don't want to be alive anymore. So then she just turns into dust or whatever. Like, she still has enough power to just, like, give her life up or whatever. And then because she, well, no, because all her daughters, all her children died before even that. It's just because she's no longer the Forest Witch, I guess. I can't remember exactly. I think that's what it is. Because she's no longer the Forest Witch, then all of her creations die because she's just becoming a nymph again rather than being, you know, the Forest Witch that made this entire forest or whatever.
Oh, and then that's why she came back as a lady instead of...
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay. But then she didn't have any of her memories. Oh, it's all making sense. I get it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she couldn't, because she's different. But she does kind of remember.
There's yeah,
some sort
there's
of
something
like,
there.
She's like, will you help me to remember?
So you have to imagine that it'll come back at some point. But then that's kind of a weird relationship where like, you know, one of the people is like, you don't remember this, but we're like crazy in love,
and
right?
The other one's like,
you know?
Oh, I kind of do remember that, though.
Right. It's just, you
it's
know.
It's like somebody that looks kind of like him, but it wasn't him.
Right.
He just took advantage of the situation.
It's kind of a weird relationship. And obviously, you know, we're supposed to kind of be into it and be like, okay, Owen's like a good enough guy that he wouldn't take advantage of the situation like that. He would be genuine about it. But it is a weird relationship.
Well, dude, it's either that or she becomes a tree. So... Can't, which one do you want?
It would have been better if she had just not come back.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
But
it
is also,
nice
it's a young adult novel.
Yeah,
so.
It was sweet. I liked this one for
and
the...
And Bilbo did say that every story should have a good ending.
Yeah,
so.
I think he was right. Because this was, you're right, it's like a young adult, maybe not even like a teen
it's,
to
But it's also
adult.
Pretty gory.
Yeah.
Like pretty regular. Like whenever Owen gives up his soul, he's then... It describes as being impaled by thousands of like
needles, right?
Like branches or whatever that
oh,
she
branches, yeah.
That she like grows out of the ground or whatever. And so like that's pretty fucking grotesque.
Yeah, but nothing beyond what kids see these days, you know? The news with all the school shootings and stuff.
Yeah,
the news is more graphic than these books. I feel like it's just the right age to make it gory and gory like that, so that kids are like, ooh, fun. Like, I'm reading something.
Right.
I'm reading something graphic. But it was easy to read.
It's definitely like an age is like, I don't know, like maybe 15 and up.
Yeah, yeah. It was an easy read, too. It was fun. It was... Yeah, dude. Yeah. It had enough.
It was so easy to go
where
through.
Where I at least was like, oh, that makes more sense than what I was making up.
Yeah, yeah. There was enough going on, and it wasn't like ever babying.
Yeah, it never explained the magic, which was nice.
It was
left some magic in it, like mystery to the thing.
There was some weird pacing in the second half, just because like stuff had to start happening, I guess. And, you know, maybe it was difficult to construct that. I'm sure it was. You know, like we've said a million times, like, I don't write books.
Yeah.
I don't know how that goes.
Well, we even kind of saw it coming last week when we read the first half. We're just like, she's going to have to put a lot. I don't know why I keep making it a
depending
woman
on, yeah, because all of a sudden there was the save the world aspect, right?
Oh, yeah.
And before that was instituted, it could take its time to do whatever it wanted. But then all of a sudden there was the save the world aspect, and you were like, well, not you, but like you, the reader, we... You know, the host of the show, we're
the
like,
royal you.
Yeah, we're like, okay, so now we have to save the world as well. So a lot has to happen, and then a lot did happen. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it worked out. I have a few, like, what is it, like five notes, and only a couple of them are kind of like, how did that happen? one of the notes that I thought was a really interesting thing that happens is whenever Saren turns into a human, the style of her inner monologue changes.
Oh.
And that might have been difficult to pick up in the audio because somebody's speaking to you rather than you're seeing it. But, you know, hopefully if they were doing good audio, they would have then changed the cadence of their voice. But in the book, a lot of what she's saying in her inner monologue as the tree or the tree siren is like, I guess it's supposed to be interpreted as kind of slow, but I don't know, maybe not slow because I always think about like the ants, right, and how they're slow. Mm-hmm. But the way that it's written out visually on the page is sometimes it'll be like one word per line. Like it's like as she's getting through like a thought, it'll be like, and he didn't come or something like that, okay. Right? And then whenever she transitions into a human form, her inner monologue changes entirely. It goes to the way that like Owens is or anybody else that, you know, we're dealing with, you know, more natural conversational in a book or whatever. And I thought that was a really interesting thing to do on paper.
Yeah, I didn't get that in the
audio.
I did know.
I'm not
when
sure
she
how you
tree,
would without being like obnoxiously like slowing down the speech. I don't know how you would impart that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she did kind of say the words a little bit longer, you know, but not like it wasn't like she was doing the ant speak or whale speak like from Finding Nemo or whatever, you know, like how they're always right.
Like drawn out.
Yeah, it wasn't like that, but it was a.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah. There was different pacing now that you mention it, and but it wasn't obnoxious or like it wasn't as pronounced.
Not enough
so
to
either.
Like.
I didn't notice. I don't think really. Mm-hmm. I knew when she was a tree, and that it was a little different, but also.
It just wasn't so dramatically different that it stood out, as opposed to seeing the words formatted differently on a page. You can't help but notice that. You know?
It was the audio was a little weird too because it kept switching between.
You said there were two narrators for the
two
characters, right?
Yeah, and the only part that was weird, though, is because then they'd speak to each other, and I already had another voice for Owen, and,
right.
So then she'd be doing
this interjecting
Owen voice.
Oh, okay.
And
because it's her hearing him.
Perspective, yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
But she, like, kept forgetting that he was Scottish or whatever, so, like, she wouldn't have an accent and sometimes did, and it's like they forgot some features about the characters that they weren't playing.
Right.
And it's fine. I mean, it was good. It didn't pull me out of it really. I don't even think I noticed that there were two people until the second book, like until this next section.
When they're interacting substantially more. And then I have a couple that are kind of like, how did this happen? This doesn't make a ton of sense. So like they're both at the castle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the palace. And night five is the night that they both... I had to do, like, some math and, like, backtracking and reading. Night five is the night that they both sneak into the palace at the same time to try and find Awela. And then after that, he doesn't ever sneak back in because it would be too dangerous for him to. And she has reason to be in the castle.
Mm-hmm.
Or the palace, I guess. And so then I went back and backtracked their days. they arrive at the same time, like almost within several hours or something like that. He gets there one evening, immediately goes to the palace, right? Sees the king like at 2 a.m. or something like that, and then signs the paperwork to join the army. She gets there that same like afternoon or evening or something. And then like, because they both then meet the first night that they're on their new duties.
Nice.
Well, she where she's peeling potatoes and he's, but it just doesn't make any sense that they both got there at the same time.
Why not?
Because she, well, first he, you know, flees from her and goes to his house, finds that Awela and his father have been taken, and then runs into the village to talk to, you know, the farm owner's wife or whoever that his dad was working for and ask, like, where's, you know, what's going on? And then he gets on the next train that he can get on, which is, like, in the morning or something like that. She flees the scene of his mother dying. Yeah, goes, finds her brother somewhere in the wood. We don't know how far away that is.
Yeah.
Gets transformed into a human and then leaves the wood to go to the village to get on the train to then go to the palace.
Yeah, that only takes an afternoon too.
Yeah, apparently.
Time moves differently in the woods.
Whenever I was trying to figure it out, I was...
That is kind of weird. I was
like, this is just nuts. And then...
It seems like both of them should have taken longer than an afternoon to do all the things they said that they did.
There should have been a time... Because then we get a couple of time skips where it's just like, it's been a couple of weeks. Now it's been a couple of months as they like settle into their lives and try to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. There should have been a time skip just right away.
Yeah. We knew it was like the second they started interacting and she was like, I don't think I can tell him. And he was like, I like this new girl.
Right.
And she's telling me about my sister.
Right.
Like we knew where it was going. We didn't really need to watch that relationship blossom. We kind of got to, but
right.
We did.
It was fine enough. It's just the timing of it just is weird. It could have just
skipped, I think, a
little bit. It seems like there could have been, it could have just been done differently. And probably, you know, for all I know, I'm the only person who fucking cares about this. So it probably doesn't even matter. But I immediately was like, wait, did they get there at the same time? And then I went back and found out. And yeah, they did. They somehow got there at the same time, but were not on the same train. So I don't know.
they weren't on the same train.
I mean, they could have been on a different car, obviously. But there wasn't a point where she was like, and then I saw him on the car ahead, or I got off the train and there he was, or anything like that. You know, so I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter.
What if there was, but they cut it? They're like, this book's getting a little wordy.
Possibly. And then I have two more notes that are kind of like, this is kind of weird. And they all have to do with the pacing of the book, kind of.
That was our only worry in the last section. So as far as things go, this book lived up to expectations. Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I thought this was a really good book.
Yeah, me too.
It's just these couple little pacing, things.
That's not a big deal.
Really. Yeah, it's, you know, pacing is extremely hard to do very well.
Yeah, and it's just a little surprising kind of, I guess.
Most of the time people don't talk about pacing unless it's really, really bad or really, really good. My next note was, it's weird that Owen's army friends don't believe in the Gwydion when it wasn't even 30 years ago that she devoured a whole village in retaliation for the king's attack. And the train tracks going through it are regularly destroyed. And there are actual survivor stories by Kingsmen.
Yeah.
And then I wrote that note and then finished reading that interaction. And then his friends were like, we know the history of our country. We know about that retaliation. And so then in all caps, I said, wait, they know about the retaliation? Then why are they like, oh, you believe in a children's story? It just doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they were joking from the get and they were like sort of just being like, oh, this is how we can poke fun at Owen, right? Because they're friends and they poke fun at each other. That's another weird thing. Like I felt like the bonding of the three, you know, young men in the army felt like somebody who only knew the stereotype of how young men bond.
Right, yeah.
Trying to explain that stereotype. Yeah. It felt a little funny.
Like boys fight each, they're like picking on each other and one takes it too far, punch.
Right,
and they go through like a hard thing and then, but they realize they're all okay there for each other. Whatever, and then, She like bound their friendship in like a brother kind of way. How like, don't tell, like, hey, we're brothers. Like, don't tell on me. Don't snitch on me. Like,
right,
to mom. Mm-hmm. And then like, even though I fucking hit you, but you deserved it. But don't you rat me out because we're brothers.
Right.
Like it was that sort of bond, you know? Did you ever do that with your brother, by the way? I did.
No.
I was always like, he'd be like, don't tell on me. I was like, okay, sorry. And I wouldn't.
That's
every
funny.
Now and then I would. I'd be like, fuck you.
I mean, I'm sure that I said something to that effect at some point, but I don't know. I didn't interact with him a ton.
Yeah, it was. I think it was normally like if I was being annoying or like, I mean, annoying to him. I'm sure I didn't think it was annoying.
Right. But, yeah. No one ever thinks they're the villain.
Yeah. I mean, I knew I was the bad guy. I was getting. No, I did know that he got annoyed with me like ever trying to hang out with him and his friends. So.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure anybody.
Yeah, that's definitely like a. Like any sibling situation, I'm sure.
Yeah, sometimes it was cool, but I'm thinking back to that now. I was like, huh, did we hang out with each other's friends? Sometimes.
I feel like I remember Alex being around.
Yeah.
When we were hanging out sometimes.
I think sometimes he wanted to like impress my friends too when they were hanging out. So he'd be like, hey, Will, come look at this thing in my computer or whatever, you know? Right. I don't know if he did that with you. He did it with Reed all the time. He was always showing Reed stuff.
Yeah, I remember him showing me things here and there.
Yeah, see, trying to impress my friends.
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, he's the one who first showed me how to defragment a computer. He was nice. Like, hey, check this out. This is wild, right? He used to always say wild.
This is wild, right? You would not believe how crazy this is. Right. This is wild.
Wild. Like, I just remember wild being like his word. He was like, isn't that wild? I'd be like, wow, I've never heard anybody use wild like that before. It worked. I was impressed. I was the impressed younger brother's friend. His plan worked.
That is wild.
He's right. That is wild.
That's awesome.
I liked
talking about that. Oh, how, because of their bond. And oh, yeah. How they became, yeah.
It friends. Just felt funny. Like the way that it was presented felt funny to me.
Yeah, Joanna Ruth Myers, do a better job.
I like how the king just got his ass fucking beat.
Yeah, that was.
He like over. Fucking swallowed all the stars, right? And like got his like, you know, more power from the stars. And I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be like a battle. Fuck yeah, this is gonna be crazy. Even though I wanted to like root for the Gwydion, especially since like, you know, Owen's dad died and he was like, yo, actually you have to save her. Don't forget. You have to save her.
Yeah.
But then of course, Owen was like too blinded with rage to really think about it until the last moment. So then the fights like are going to happen. He's like marching into battle, having swallowed the stars, and he's doing all this crazy shit. And I was like, oh fuck. And then he just gets fucking demolished.
Yeah.
In like no time at all. It's like, fuck, she's fucking hardcore.
That's like... And, like, didn't she kill basically, like, everybody in the military?
Yeah, like, the entire army's dead.
Except for, like, Owen and his friends.
Right. And then...
But, like, isn't one of them a cripple now? Like, and the other one's just fine.
Reinhold, like,
our friend Reinhold defected, from high school.
Right? Yeah.
Sounds like a name.
He defected, right? Except that he didn't really defect. He was a spy the whole time for the other country that we'd heard about once or twice. And whenever the march was happening, he then went to go get his army and was like, hey, this is happening. Let's go help out. And so then they show up and start fighting the trees as well. But the Tarian army, Owen's country, was already like mostly demolished or something like that. And then whenever Gwaen, I think was the name of the other country, shows up, like it wasn't too much longer that everything ended at that point, I think. And then they just take over because the king's dead.
Owen's country sucked too. The king seemed like a dick, and then
he was the worst. He's literally like one of the worst bad guys of this universe. Yeah, but he
didn't
seem
so bad in the beginning, and then just right after the middle.
Well, because we had no interaction with him, but then the second we start interacting with him, we're like, oh, this is actually a bad guy. Like, there's something about this guy that sucks. And then I think. I was also kind of going into the second half, kind of having bought wholesale into my idea that he was the soul leader because of the one clue that we got that I mentioned.
He was the soul leader.
He was.
That's what he was eating. Okay.
Yeah.
I just like forgot that plot point. And then he was like, I'll eat all these things. I was like, oh, I didn't even think about those.
Yeah. He took the Gwydion soul when she was a nymph. Like they like fell in love. Although it was apparently like just a plot of his the whole time to just take her magic so that he could then become the king he was like the prince of the land or whatever, but he wanted the power so that he could then, I don't know, do whatever humans that want power do.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the worst plan, I guess, because she's just like a tree nymph, but like, damn dude, you didn't need to do it that way. You could have like, if you could have fallen in love for real, probably like Owen.
Yeah. And so then that's why she calls him the soul eater, because he ate her soul. And then she decides, okay, well, now I'm going to take vengeance and I'm just going to kill every human ever.
Hell hath no fury.
Like a woman, like a tree nymph scorned.
Yeah. apparently.
A wood nymph, I suppose.
Well, dude, you know, if any woman had magic powers, she would go that, like, and it was that big of an offense, she would go that big. And
if it was that feasible to get revenge on a scale that large, absolutely. There's a lot of things that I would do if I just was magical.
Well, I mean, Cleopatra literally did it, so.
Right, yeah.
And she was like 14.
She had the benefit of, you know, running
that's
a country.
Saying. That was her magic power. And then she also had other men that were also like of her status too, but right. She was still running the show.
Yeah.
Women, dude. Dude, I want to get on her side. I wonder what she was like, man. We should read a Cleopatra book. You think she's cool or like probably not?
Probably not. She probably just like was ruthless and awful.
What if like we were hanging out with Cleopatra?
Do you think she'd be fun? Cleopatra?
Like no, in her house.
At her house. Like not just in the fucking pyramids.
She probably would not want to come over to
the
my
palace
house.
In Cairo.
I can't imagine she'd have any fun at my house. She's like, what the hell are we doing here? This sucks. You got chickens in the backyard? Like, take me back to my land. I don't even speak English.
I think Egyptian is like one of the oldest languages and probably, and it's probably changed.
That's a language?
To, yeah.
For real? I didn't know that. I thought they spoke just like French or something. A lot of people in Africa speak
right.
French.
Yeah, because France did a lot of colonizing in Africa, mostly like North and like Western Africa. And
I
Eastern
honestly
kind
of thought Egypt was like English or like
I'm pretty sure they have their own language.
No, I'm sure you're right. I mean, one of the first colleges was in Egypt.
Or it definitely it was in, also has like other languages that are a major part of it, like you know, different forms of Arabic and things like that, because now like. Islam is such a widespread religion around the world and all of that. So
Ethiopia,
that sort of stuff travels.
It has the first college, my bad. That's what it was. Ethiopia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Egypt, though, was one of the like early educated societies in the world.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they had their own. I mean, they at that point, they had their own spoken language for sure. I am positive it's still around.
I'm sure
something that could
right.
be looked up.
Man, that would be tough. Do you even think we... Like, say we had a... A live instant translator in our brain or something, and we could go speak to Cleopatra and chill. I wonder if she'd be cool.
Maybe cool in the way that like
she'd probably love your tattoos, bro. She'd be like, how did you do this? Did they have tattoos back then?
Yeah, tattoos have been around forever? For like yeah for,
but
yeah
she
ever.
Was
you literally
before
said what I was gonna say.
Forever she's old. I'm just kidding.
I think
I don't know
that
when she was.
Oh, man, there's... I mean, this is completely
dude,
irrelevant.
She's hotter
but...
than anyone's ever imagined, too. Like, she actually was, like, wow. No wonder everyone's fighting for
right.
her.
Sorry, right, just like matters. Helen of Troy or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's all these stories dude. About, like, you know, the most beautiful women or the most, you know, handsome men and all these things in, like, in ancient history. But... Like, nobody was hot back then.
I wonder. Yeah,
everybody, dude. Like, lived in the mud. Even, like, kings did not have,
and nobody
like,
had lotion. Nobody was,
like people that
face.
Live in the projects today have a better standard of living than kings did back then. Like,
oh, yeah, that's
you know,
a good point.
Plumbing.
Sugar.
The sugar. Access to running water, even if it's not in your own immediate home for some reason.
Yeah, food storage. Like,
yeah,
we right. didn't have to put everything in salt.
Some kind of, you know, air conditioning, even if it's just like a fan that you bought somewhere. You know?
True.
Like, the quality of life across the board light. Is so much better than even the highest standards back then. So nobody was hot back then. Nobody took care of anything. Nobody brushed their teeth back then. Like, you know, everything was just awful back then.
God, dude, it would be so interesting.
Everybody
to go see
smelled.
What it was like. Dude, I bet Cleopatra didn't. I'm just kidding. No, I'm sure they all did. It would be so interesting to go back and see like what it actually looked like.
Yeah.
If it's even true. I mean, I
right.
would, so how much of that is probably not even true?
Well, there's got to be a lot, right? Because even if like the original manuscripts of whatever it is were true to form, they were still then translated and interpreted, right?
True.
And so with every step away from the original leaves room for inaccuracies to take place. So who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is, dang, that is crazy. Did we become a history podcast?
Right, yeah, now we're a history podcast. I'm going to try and dig back into whenever I was still a history major before I dropped out the first time.
Team dropout?
I dropped out twice.
I only did once.
At least he went back and got the thing then at some point. But anyways, the...
Should have been in literature.
Literature, right. Yeah. and get one of those pointless liberal arts degrees. I mean, they're all pointless these days, but that's a whole other. Yeah,
my engineering degree is pretty pointless.
And I think I know like two people that have degrees that have anything to do with their jobs, and then everybody else doesn't do anything.
I always say Kenneth, but he's like, I didn't do this for my job. I didn't program.
Right. It's like adjacent to what he got a degree in.
Adjacent.
Just that it's computers and there's some level of development. Like exactly. It's just like adjacent to it. And then like my coworker, she has a biology degree and we work in IT now. Like, it's just like nobody actually gets college is a waste of money. I know that like I work for a university now, so I probably shouldn't say this because if my university doesn't get money, I don't have a job, but don't go to college. Anybody who still is young enough to have the choice and is listening to this podcast for some inadvisable reason, don't go to college. It's a waste of your time and money. I thought that was like another thing that I was thinking about
the
book.
I can't think of anything else about this book right now. I'm just like, what did Owen and her do at the end? Were they like, what was his job at the end of all of this? Just like he got to go back home and take her with
him.
Well,
so because his like one of his best friends is now the king.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like he's like hailed as the hero that took down the Gwydion.
He was.
Because he literally did, he wasn't like trying to.
Yeah, he was trying to kill himself.
Yeah, he had given up his life because he was like, fuck, Saren's not around. I don't want anything anymore. And he was trying to, you know, Romeo himself. And then
I don't even want my soul. Take it.
And then it just happened that it ended up resulting in her, you know, departing from the earth of then her own will. But so the Gwaed or Gwaen, whatever the name of that other king or country was, like the soldiers saw just the interaction of them interacting and then her disappearing. Like, ah, he did it. And then they just gave him a bunch of fucking money. And then it turned out that his friend was the king. So he's just set. Nice. Like, he has the deed to the house,
so he
doesn't have to pay the mortgage anymore or whatever. And this is still at a period of time where it's, like, legal to just be self-sufficient.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't have to pay property taxes, and you don't have to fucking, you know, rent electricity from some provider that your city tells you have to choose because you have a monopoly on the city, the electricity.
Oh, like, dude, and this
forest is still a period of time where you can just live for yourself.
Oh, and this forest just became a gold mine. It is no longer...
Oh, yeah, like, it's no longer cursed. You can do anything in it, basically.
Yeah, there you can go hunting, and you can grow plants. You could probably just, like, go for a nice walk. Like, I'm sure there's water. There's tons of stuff you can get from this forest.
There's no longer magic
medicine,
in there.
Medicine, dude? We can probably start doing medicine now?
Right.
Because this forest isn't trying to kill you and suck your soul out? It's just doing normal forest stuff?
So, yeah, like, now they're just living.
I was thinking about it.
I guess
today.
He can go work in town if he wants to.
How long do you think... This is kind of relevant, because we're talking about... back when it used to be self-sufficient, like how long do you think you would live if, like, let's say like you were set up like Owen, like, but you didn't
I had all the pieces that has had to do it.
Yeah. But like, you didn't have, let's say, a lifetime supply of money. Let's say you're like, you inherited like a quarter of a lifetime supply of money in this period. Like, do you think you got it until your end of days? I feel like I would live for probably like a year or two, and then I'd like break my leg or something, get infected because we don't have the medicine to fix it or whatever.
Right.
Like, but if in an actual survival, I was thinking about 6 months until something catastrophic happened to me that I died. Like, I think that I could survive. I just think that I would die from something clumsy or foolish.
Well, how far removed are you from everything? Because he's like 5 miles from town, right? So if he needs something, and obviously if he like breaks his leg and there's nobody to assist him in getting to town, then he's fucked, right? But like in a situation where, like, I always think about, like, I don't
you have the house, you have no money, you're 5 miles from town, how long do you think you'd make it? You have the girl too, though.
Then forever,
like, together we'd make
Bon Jovi,
probably, dude.
Or Living
would
on a Prayer.
If you had her, you probably would, but honestly, just because y'all could be like, let's go do some forest stuff, like,
because if like you're near town and you know, let's say, like, you have no money, right? You can go work in town if you need to get some money and to then get like
to learn how to farm
and to do that stuff. I always think about like the knowledge I don't have. I don't know how to farm. I know the extremely base mechanics of planting things and helping them grow.
Yeah.
Like, I know that much. I can't grow a tomato like farmers grow tomatoes and that get sold at the market, though. Like, if I grew a tomato, it would be half the size, you know?
Yeah, dude, but you could, like, defrag all their computers.
Right. But I could learn all that stuff. Yeah. And so, like, how easy would it be to learn? If I was not far from town, I could go talk to somebody about that who knows how to do it and learn and get trips, like tips and tricks, right? And like, you know, get to the point at some point. But if I was like a pioneer,
yeah,
like on the Oregon Trail or something like that, and I was going to a place where nobody else was and I wasn't going to get any help, and like, you know, halfway along the Oregon Trail, I was like, fuck going to Oregon. I'm just going to settle here in, you know, what is now Missouri. Like, this seems like good enough land. I'm tired of fucking traveling and dying of dysentery. I'm going to just fucking, this is my land. I'm going to do this now. I don't know how long I would last at that.
Say we have setups for like an elk hunt. Like, we're both going to go on a dual elk hunt. And then,
so we have like fucking 45s or something like that, because those fuckers are stupid.
We have big ass rifles.
Yeah.
But we also have like, we have solo tents. We have knives. We've got everything we would need ideally to survive for at least a week with no experience and also hunt. So how long do you think with that gear? Such a rough guesstimate of all this stuff.
How long did Brian last in Hatchet? I forget how long that book took place over. It was like a month or something like that.
It was like 3 or 4 months, I thought. Because he made it almost till winter. And then in Brian's winter,
he goes back through winter. Right.
Oh, I thought he just
doesn't never... he go back because he wants to?
No, that was another one. That was like the third book or something. Oh, okay. But didn't Gary Paulson actually have that happen to him? Didn't he like happen?
Something like that. I think
he was in a plane crash and he had to survive for like a few days. I don't think he had to survive as long as the guy in the story, but
right, yeah. Or that he survived a fucking moose attack.
Yeah, that was crazy, dude. The moose hits him like into the water, right? Yeah,
like he flies like dozens of feet.
I would love to see that.
Right.
Not really.
I don't know. I like to think that I know enough to do something, but the problem is always sickness.
Yeah.
Because if that happens, then you are fucked.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. Certainly depending on what sickness it is. If it's just like, you know, just like something that you can hopefully, and you happen to have, you know, like Tylenol in your backpack.
It'd probably just be like a normal. And you can just like cold.
Hydrate and get Tylenol. Right.
And they die.
But if you like get something from something that you ate, then you might as well just go ahead and, you know, just take the bullet.
Like, use your hunting rifle. Yeah, I think honestly, and dude, if we had our hunting rifles, like I think we'd be set on food. No, we got separated in this scenario, so we're trying to out-survive each other. But
how separated are we that like we don't hear the fucking rifles go off and be like, oh, Jordan must be over there.
We're separated enough to where this pretend scenario happens and we're both out there hunting.
Quit asking questions. This is the scenario.
We're playing pretend.
Right.
No. Yeah, I'm trying to think what's going on with Owen. And
I mean, he knows how to garden. He knows how to grow things.
Yeah, and he's like an astronomer pretty much.
He's got enough book smarts to for this period of time
and money
to understand things. Yeah, and he's got money for days,
and he's got a girlfriend that used to live in the woods. Like, well, she
he's raising his younger sister still.
Oh, a baby. He's got a baby.
She's like 5 at the time that Saren comes back, because she's 2 whenever all the shit happens. And then it takes a year for the tree to sprout, and then it takes another year for it to be like a full-blown tree, and then it takes another year for her to come back. So it's been 3 years since the event, so she should be in her like 5, 5 and a half-ish.
When are they not babies anymore?
Well, I guess you stop being a baby like at when you can start walking effectively.
Oh, really?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if anybody... I
feel like I'm going to call them a baby until like
maybe nobody else like divides it up that way, but I feel like that's my perception of it. Because at that point, if you're able to walk consistently and get yourself into trouble, that's whenever you cross the threshold into like being a toddler. And obviously these are, you know, ambiguous definitions, but...
I thought those all fell under the class of baby, and then baby made it all the way.
I see them all under the class of like child. I think I feel like child goes up to
like 5 to 10, and then it really doesn't matter.
Probably everybody does it a different way or whatever, because there's not like a
My only reason I was thinking
I'll ask the doctor next time I go.
The only reason I was thinking any of that was just because she's like so little, you know, like it's gonna be tough. But I mean, whatever. He's got money and privacy. Hey, dude, this book had a nice little bow tie ending. It was just good,
right?
Would recommend. I would like to read another one by this author if we ever need another quickie.
Yeah, I did.
Joanna Ruth Meyer.
Yeah. Meyer. I did like this book a lot. I think I didn't, aside from those couple little nitpicky things, because, you know, I'm a nitpicking asshole.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Like, everything, like, we're trying to nitpick. I really liked everything else about it. I thought there was nothing about like her writing style that stood out like in a negative way where I was like, I really don't like the way she does this, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I ever say like, I love this writing style. Like, cause I don't know that I can pick out like a good writing style. For some reason that just like is kind of like over my head. But I will notice when something's bad. And this was not bad, I guess is what I mean to be getting at. The sort of like creativity of the story was really interesting.
Yeah. Like I was saying, it was like the side quest, but it was fun being a part of it. Like it all, that's why I like side quests.
There was a lot about it that was unlike a lot of things that I had read. It wasn't wholly original, but there was stuff about it that I wasn't expecting.
It felt like a side quest in the Kingkiller Chronicles.
Right up
like
until the Save the World part, but
even that, dude, that all felt like straight up something that would have happened in a side quest in this universe. Like literally Save the World level.
Yeah.
I love that series, but it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm so nervous for you to read it. I gave them to you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, I'm so nervous for you to ever read them.
Is that the one that's like, not finished, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
For one, because of that reason, and two, because I'm so into it. I'm just like, oh no, Will might not like it. I'm sure you'll like it to some degree, if not right. just because
well, I'm sure. You about I've it. I've only ever heard good things about it from multiple sources.
Yeah, Courtney really liked it, and that's why I read it. And then this nerd that I went to college with. I've
heard good things from you, and I've never heard anything directly from Courtney about it, but if she likes it a lot, and Kenneth says that it's great.
Kenneth's read it?
Has he not? I could have swore that he told me about it too.
Dude, if Kenneth has read this book and we have never talked about it,
is the first what's the name of the first one?
The Name of the Wind.
Yeah, he's read it.
What?
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 1,000,000% positive he told me. Maybe he hasn't read the whole series, but I'm like 1,000,000% positive he at least read The Name of the Wind. Unless I'm thinking about some other book that has wind in the title. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he said so. And then I have a couple of coworkers that really like the series. Where I, you know, still work part time.
Huge misdirection. Shouldn't we're be talking not about where that I work, book, though.
What we're going to read going into next week, because we want to read Joan Huh's next novel, The Ones We're Meant to Find, but it comes out on Tuesday of next week, and that would give us
behind the scenes. We record Tuesdays most of the time.
Yeah, generally speaking, bring it up to Tuesday.
We'd
give ourselves like maybe 8 hours to read.
And we like her, so we wouldn't want to do this book any injustice or whatever. We want to give it the full, you know.
Yeah, so we're going to just try to knock out a single book in a week. And Jordan presented a very opportune book to do it with.
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of surprised I even remembered it, but we're going to do The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
By Douglas Adams.
Yeah, it's 120 pages, right?
Like 130 pages or something.
Yeah, it's really short.
It's the first of the series or whatever. We're not going to read the whole series. You know, maybe honestly, at some point I'll finish it and we can speak about it anecdotally. But
I've never even read the series. I've only read the first one. It feels like a one-off too, because it's just fun and silly. I think I was looking for it on Audible as like what could be a series that I could get the whole thing for one credit, and I was thinking like this one's got to be on there, right? And then it was not. But it was The Hitchhiker's Guide was on there, and anyway, I'm excited. It's really funny. It's really like it's actually really good. It's I mean it's an easy read. You knock it out in like an afternoon or a day, you know.
Oh yeah,
and.
This will be really easy to 138 pages. Like I can read 200 to 250 pages in like 5 to 6 hours if I'm able to crank through it. If it's not like, you know, boring the shit out of me. So this will be, you know, like I'll probably just like read this when I'm making breakfast one morning or something.
Yeah. I mean, if you like it enough where it's funny, just like let me know and I'll get the next one and we could just knock out maybe a couple of them if we really like it, you know, and we. But no pressure. I mean, we're just reading the first one for this next week because it'll be short and easy. And I mean, that's saying we read it tonight, you know, like who's to say we won't read it until next Tuesday,
right?
Hours before we
might just push it off until that point.
Yeah,
because if it's like, so short, that might be the thing to do because it's going to go so quickly. So I don't want to just like forget it.
So anyway,
there is a movie that came out in 2005 starring Martin Freeman.
The guy from Psych. Not the main character, but the main's best friend.
I know his face. I don't know his name.
Me too, and I don't want to just start describing people. Right. I don't remember many features.
Yeah. I didn't ever watch that show, but whenever it was popular, their faces were everywhere. So I remember his face.
Yeah, he's the a character in this book too, or in this movie too.
Okay.
The movie's actually pretty good. It's the reason I went back and read the book, because I saw it and I think I had TiVo in my room or something, and I recorded. I know.
Y'all were like the first people I knew that had TiVo. I think y'all ended up being the only people I knew that had TiVo.
I think we were, because like we had TiVo.
At some point, DVRing just became like standard
yeah,
for most companies. Yeah. But y'all had TiVo like early, and I thought that is the coolest thing ever.
My mom got a TiVo from her best friend for her birthday because she was like, I'll never buy that. It was like, they were like $300 or some shit for the system. So like, anyway, she bought it for her and it was awesome. And then mom, because she was a TiVo member, like entered in to win a free TiVo, and she won a free TiVo. I think like you had to have a TiVo. So
right,
So I don't know. I don't know if the pickings were slim and that's why she won. Or
it was like, such a small audience. Yeah, of course. So, she had like a one in
dude,
four chance
we won to like three or four of those. Like I swear to God, like we had a TiVo in every room of the house by the end of the thing. Yeah, because mom was like, I guess I'll put one in my room.
Like a couple millionaires. Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Dude, because I had a TiVo, mom had a TiVo in her
the
bedroom,
dog had
and
a TiVo.
There was a TiVo in the living room. There were at least three. And I swear they even had one like that they took camping, but it might have just, or no, I think we had one out at the ranch.
Nice.
That's what it was. That's where our fourth TiVo went. But yeah, and I watched this movie and then I went back and read the book and just knocked it out in like an afternoon and in school, I think. And it was just like, wow, am I like a super reader now? Am
Did I just
nerd?
Become the world's fastest reader?
So yeah, anyway, I'm really excited for this book.
I am too. I've never
to
read it.
Yeah.
I just totally let it pass me by. I mean, let it pass me by like I was alive, you know, back when it came out in the fucking
70s. Oh, and we forgot
70s.
To mention, yeah, it came out in 1979, 42 years ago, which
this
is
the
relevant,
42nd anniversary year.
Which is relevant to the book.
Yeah.
So,
serendipitous.
Find out why. Yeah, dude, serendipitous, though. It's perfect. I can't believe. And we hadn't even considered it, I don't think, any other years for the podcast, so it just worked out.
Yeah.
But it's this.
We hadn't considered it until like an hour ago when we were trying to frantically figure out what we were going to read this next week.
Yeah, man.
As we commonly do.
You're right, though. Serendipity.
Serendipity.
So let's watch that movie, too. Serendipity with Kate Beckinsale and, oh, no, canceled. Someone that's canceled, right?
I don't know what movie that is. I don't think I've ever heard about it.
Oh, it's a rom-com. You'll love it.
It's got Kate Beckinsale. I love it.
David loved it. And I watched it with David. And I thought it was pretty good.
Well, all right. That's all the endorsement I need. Actually, all I needed was Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, yeah, read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Again, super mega ultra short read. Watch the movie if you want to. I may or may not. Watching movies is not generally my thing.
This is perfect, though. It's got a ton of references and like the cultural zeitgeist, and like I'm sure you'll get them as
you have the cultural zeitgeist of 1979.
Well, I mean, on the internet, I feel like a lot of people have made the jokes.
Well, when
know,
the movie
so
came out, it then like it I remember it being again. Everywhere. Everybody was like 42, and you know, it's just like nobody would shut up about it. And me being somebody that didn't watch the movie or read the book, I was just like, oh my god,
shut
guys,
up.
Like I don't care. I get it. It's funny.
And now I get it. It's funny.
But now I'll read it.
Yeah, and now we're gonna see 42 all over the place.
And then get ready for Joan Huss, The Ones We're Meant to Find. I'm really excited for it.
Yes.
I'm super excited for it.
I have no idea what it's about, and that's probably best. I can't wait. I'm just excited to be like a super fan. She tweeted back at us.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course, she was also, I don't know if we ever tweeted at anybody else. She was the first person that we ever tweeted at. I don't think we ever, because
we tweeted it one more.
Possibly. We've totally fallen off of social media. Like once in a while, I remember to post something to Instagram, but I never remember to post anything to Twitter.
Yeah, I don't think either of us even really have social media. So it's like,
I have an Instagram, but that's
to
it.
Do it ourselves.
I barely even use my own Instagram. Like I look at my Instagram every fucking like other hour because, you know, I have like the most addictive personality, but I rarely post.
We need to see if there's something we can set up to where we can like text our Twitter and it'll tweet our text. You know what I mean?
There almost certainly is. That's how Twitter had that feature when it first started.
We need to use that then.
I mean, I've been thinking about it lately. I'm just going to reinstall the app on my phone just so that I can access it very easily. And then it's accessible. And then I can easily be like, okay, you know, it's going to take me 5 seconds to tweet something about the podcast, done. As opposed to like opening up a browser, signing in, dealing with it, blah, blah, blah.
All right, guys, stay tuned.
Yeah. I just didn't have Twitter on my phone because I got rid of all my other social media and I was trying to go without it for as long as possible. And it's been over a year now because I did it for my birthday last year.
Nice.
It was my birthday gift to myself to get off of the awful, terrible environment of social media that is the downfall of all humanity.
And now we're back for the potty watch.
Yeah, no, now we're back for the podcast. Anyways, do all that stuff. I'm Will Hedrick.
I'm Jordan Schaffer.
And this is Dog Ears and Timestamps.